Salvation by grace through faith, the Christological meaning of marriage, the resplendent armor of God. These are some of the themes that you'll find in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, the New Concordia Commentary on Ephesians. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt of the Concordia Commentary on Ephesians at issuesetc.org, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, the Concordia Commentary on Ephesians.
I am over creative pastors. Don't be creative on me. Don't think you're smarter than those who put the liturgy together, the church fathers, and those that have given us our hymnal. Don't think you're smarter. You're probably not.
The party's over. The non-denominational, vague, generic Christianity. It's been the future for so long, but I just don't think the government, the lawyers, are going to let people get away with that anymore.
You have to redefine Marxism and communism, leave out the atheism, leave out the materialism, which to Marx's mind and to the communist mind was at the center of it.
As a child, I've heard the voice of my father who says, "You're holy, you're forgiven, you're righteous." And my confidence is the confidence of a child that says, "That's what my dad said about me."
In about 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We play four soundbites, and then your call, your email, your tweets, and your votes at our Facebook fan page will decide which one will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. So far, we have been analyzing the Supreme Court's decision to legalize homosexual marriage. We got a legal perspective from Dr. Robert George of Princeton University, a little bit of a political perspective from Dr. Ryan Anderson of the Heritage Foundation. Dr. Albert Moeller approached this from kind of answering the objections that come from within the church a little earlier on the program. Dr. Alveda King responding to the equation of the civil rights movement with the movement for homosexual marriage, and Sharif Girgis giving us a philosophical analysis of the threshold that we've crossed with this decision. To wrap up our analysis of the Supreme Court's decision on this Friday afternoon, their decision to legalize homosexual marriage, Pastor Matt Harrison, he's a regular guest. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Matt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd.
I guess speaking as the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, what's your answer to the question in light of the Supreme Court's decision today? What does this mean?
It means a number of things. As I must say, quickly looked at the decision, it appears fairly simple on the face of it, but it means that the U.S. government and what now will essentially be all state governments will be imposing gay marriage and all its ethics upon the country in every way, shape, and form, throughout the military, state guard, through employment law, through you name it, every aspect of American life. Education will be permeated with this. And so those of us who have the traditional, and that is the eternal view of marriage, God's view of marriage, and the view of natural and revealed law, will simply be painted as Jim Crow crazies. And more significantly, the perpetrators of this philosophy will seek to drive us from public life in every way, shape, and form as illegitimate, and you will find now a bunch of lawsuits, just as you had in the wake of Roe v. Wade, which will give various opinions and either whittle away or give more leeway to this decision. So, for instance, we will soon face, I believe, legal challenges to being a Christian university, or having a Christian university which has a marriage policy or a theology of marriage which is contrary to the state. And we could be very quickly refused access to federal student loan programs. That indeed will close all of our institutions and virtually all Christian institutions in the country. So we face this kind of draconian challenge ahead of us, make no mistake.
With that said, Matt, what do you say to Lutheran pastors, to Lutheran laity, who today, upon hearing this decision, are extremely discouraged?
Yes. Well, we knew it was coming. And we know it was coming on simply the practical grounds. Ronald Reagan made a very big mistake in appointing Kennedy to the court years ago. He has been a very problematic justice on these issues and a great disappointment, and he continues to be a great disappointment. But we also know it's coming because the Bible. We're in the little period of tribulation before the end, frankly. And the line between what is Christian and what is not is getting brighter. And we had the great fortune in this country for years, much of my life anyway, when we could state in a Commission on Theology, Missouri Synod Commission on Theology document in the early 90s, that thank God the government upholds our view of sexuality. That's a short trip from that day to this day. And so we knew it was coming. Our culture, the supreme value of our postmodern culture is sexual freedom. And because that is the supreme value, in order to take care of what happens with sexual freedom, that is lack of marriage, divorce, unwed parenthood, absentee fathers, all those things, the government has to get exponentially larger. And so all of it means socialism. And all of that is antithetical to Christianity and the strength of Christianity and the strength of families, etc. So we are in a challenging moment, there's no doubt about it, but what else can we do but confess? I say, you know, this ridiculous court 40-some years ago got it wrong on Roe v. Wade, and as a result, 55 million Americans are dead. But who would have thought today a majority of Americans are actually pro-life for the first time, including a majority of millennials? The battle is on us in a different way. The pressure's on. So be it. God works all things for good.
When you say, what can we do but confess, what do you mean by that, Matt?
Well, I mean, we have to stand in, we will have to do it in wise ways, but we will be faithful to our convictions on what marriage is. We will treat all people as children of God, indeed, no matter what their sexual preference. We will love all people, but we will not compromise. We will obey God rather than men, and we will make a confession if we are forced to act contrary to conscience. And this will come in many different ways. Already in the military, our chaplains are telling us they are being discriminated against. They are being ridiculed for our view on marriage. You may well find it in the not-too-distant future where anybody with our view of marriage will not be allowed to carry on chaplaincy in the military. We face all these kind of questions. And we will confess. We will be kind, charitable, and faithful.
The pressure to compromise on this is, I think, intense to say the least, and shows no sign of abating. It would be right. Very easy for pastors, for laity, for congregations, for religiously associated institutions to say, look, we got to pick our battles. This is just something we've lost, and we might as well just go along with the culture on this and hope to, you know, live to fight another day, and hope maybe it's often justified, as you know, Matt, you know, we'll get a better chance to preach the gospel if we just remain silent on this. What do you say to that?
It may be that will be a temptation among us. I have no doubt about it. I'm sure when the first of our institutions is attacked, you may have folks in the church who are saying, hey, you know, we can live with this. We've lived with stuff before. Look, we've got to compromise here so that we can continue to get the gospel out, et cetera. And those are going to be hard decisions for us. As for me, we have to stand tall, and we cannot be denuded by the government of our confession of the faith. Period. And the government will seek to do so in every way, dangling money in front of us. the Obama administration came out just a couple of weeks ago. A story came out. They leaked it that anybody who gets receives grant money from the faith-based office of faith-based or the faith-based office of the administration has to agree with the LGBTQ policy of the administration. That is simply the establishment of liberal religion. And this court ruling, again, simply establishes and gives a governmental preference and advantage to liberal religion.
I'm thinking about that layperson who already found themselves in what was perhaps 10 years ago an awkward position in holding to and holding steadfast to a biblical view of marriage and of human sexuality. And then maybe yesterday found themselves in an uncomfortable position, but today they're scared to say anything about what they believe and what the Bible has to say on this. What do you say to them, Pastor Lee Matt?
Well, I think we have to respect people's consciences. There are certain contexts where people have to be discreet in order to be in those locations and bear witness. I know many. There are many musicians and people in entertainment who actually have to be very discreet on their views, and yet they're there and they share them with people who are hurting at appropriate times. I think on the one hand, we have to be careful not to bind consciences and strictly define where people can and can't be. On the other hand, we have to confess, and that confession will at times cost us greatly.
Do congregations need to fear, in your estimation, or they need to prepare for the pressure, the legal pressure, not only to kind of go along with the culture on this, but the legal pressure that will be imposed upon them and their pastors to either perform or take part in or in some other way contribute to homosexual marriages?
Well, it's something we're all going to have to keep our eye on. I suspect we will be able to avoid that. That has so far been the case in Canada among our clergy. But who would have thought? I mean, the society has moved so far, and we are in such a politically correct craze. It's just bizarre. So, who knows where it's going to go. We have a unified confession on these issues in the Missouri Synod. We have a well-known public practice and confession, and we will hold to it. And we're going to be in this together. If somebody is attacked in New York or Illinois or some other place, we will stand with them, and we will stand or fall together.
What are you praying today, Matt?
Actually, I'm just angry, and I knew this was coming, but to see our country so unhinged from natural law on the one hand, and to be so fearful that Luther would see this and say this is the hand of God withdrawing from America and giving it what it wants as an eschatological event, but seeing we have been so blessed in this country. Think of all the missionaries that have gone around the world in this country, from this country. Think of all the good that has been produced by Christian institutions which have been secularized overwhelmingly in the last 50 to 75 years in this country. Think of the blessings of education we've had. Think of, I just think of New York University, where the founder of the Missouri Synod's son, Wilhelm Zeiler's son, was the reigning classicist there for decades and a faithful Missouri Synod Lutheran. He would not be allowed to step on the campus today. Just think of the heritage squandered. And right in front of us is the result of it all. Absolute chaos, racial chaos, family chaos, record welfare, animosity, political correctness, gay marriage, and all of it is held up as though it is the most glorious ascent. And we are ascending to a height mankind has never achieved before, and really we are sinking to one low after another. It is a tragedy. And it reminds us that our hope is not in this world. I am a citizen of heaven. And if this reminds us of that, all the more so be it. And we need to be about our task of being the church, sharing Christ with the ever more burgeoning numbers of people who are hurt in the wake of this ethic of sexuality above all.
Couple final questions for you here, Matt. While Lutherans of our stripe today are mourning, there are Lutherans in America who are rejoicing over this. What are your thoughts for the largest Lutheran church body in the United States that will no doubt by the end of the day have a statement from its presiding bishop that will herald this as a great advance for American freedom, liberty, human rights, and probably an advance of heralding it as an advance for the church as well. What are your thoughts there, Matt?
Well, of course, it's the manifestation of the adoption of paganism. It is paganism in the church. And part and parcel of the decline of America has been the result of historical criticism in the mainline, old-line churches, because clergy and churches have ceased to be institutions that uphold the simple truths of the Scriptures. And you say that over and over again. Churches occupied by chairs, occupied institutions, occupied by people that have nothing in common with the founders of those institutions, nothing at all. And it's sad. It's completely expected. On the other hand, the rain shower is pouring in the Southern Hemisphere, and every time something like this happens, church after church, we are being approached by a dozen churches in Africa who want relationships with us, in addition to the Mekanesus, which is approaching 8 million people now, Madagascar, Southeast Asia. Our director of church relations was just in Russia, the former Soviet Union, and the L-Cross people, that is the current Lutheran World Federation. Churches in various places are seeking relationships with us. So, tragically, this is a boon to the Missouri Synod's worldwide work.
Matt, two final questions. One, it sounds like what you're saying right there is that not only do we have opportunities for the right proclamation of God's word, but we also have allies on this particular issue among the burgeoning Christendom of the Southern Hemisphere.
Absolutely. Completely so. And the Lutheran World Federation, the ELCA, are trying to teach these poor people in the South how to read the Bible, but it's not working. So, unfortunately, the Bible is just really rather clear. We don't say this in a haughty way at all. I am a damned sinner under the law. The law condemns me just as much as it condemns anybody else, no matter who. And at the same time, the gospel is for all. It calls us all to repentance and promises forgiveness.
Finally then, Matt, Lutherans have been historically and justly, in many cases, perhaps sometimes unjustly blamed for being silent during times of historical crisis, the rise of fascism and Nazism in the 20th century. There are other examples as well.
Right.
Will we be silent here in the 21st century?
That's the question. I'm not going to be silent. So that's the question. We can't be silent. Our pastors need to speak up, call this what it is, a lie, and call us all to repentance, and for us to be on about our business. You know, I took a wonderful tour of the footsteps of Paul from Malta, the shipwreck in Malta, to Rome, and saw the place where Paul was martyred. And this, I just thought of the power of the gospel in that context, that one little man walking through the streets in various places. We face something that for us is daunting and difficult to conceive of because we've been so spoiled by our context. And now the Lord will begin to have his martyrs increasingly around the world with the rise of Islam and the continued unabated rise of radical secularism, which wants man to be God.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Folks, you can read a statement issued by the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod about today's Supreme Court decision at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Matt, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you. Take care of yourself.
When we come back on this Friday afternoon, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got the four soundbites ready to play. When we get back, we'll let you listen to them, and then your votes will decide which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Stay tuned.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
There is confusion about marriage in the world, but not with Jesus and His scriptures. Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy, will be having a conference on Tuesday, June 30th at St. Paul Lutheran Church, Hamel, Illinois, on marriages and weddings. Come and hear the theology of marriage and the theology of the wedding and be strengthened in confessing. Helpful sectionals for pastors and laity in the finest of the church's worship. For more information, go to gottesdienstonline.blogspot.com.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org.
And the love of God.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings, 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of Issues, etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. Issues, etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.